I want to ask two questions this morning and see if we can answer them. First question, what is the value of one soul? Second question, would Jesus have come to this world for only one person? To help us answer the questions, let's go to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and I'm just going to read the NIV. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, and remember, I said that to you, there is no place called Capernaum. The place is called Naum. Kafer in Hebrew means town of. So Capernaum means the town of Nahum. We just made it Capernaum, but it actually means the town of Nahum. So a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We're going to come back to this word. Son is incorrect. Should be the word child. And I'll explain that in a little bit. Child, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And so he said to the man, "I'll tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Let me set the scene for you a little bit for this story. So Capernaum, in the province of Galilee, was Jesus' home base for a lot of his ministry. He stayed there at some stage for close to 2 years. The house that he usually stayed at is the house of Peter. And if you go to Israel today, you can still see the house of Peter in Capernaum. There's a huge old church built right over it, but you can still see the house. So the expectation is it was at Peter's house that Jesus was teaching. It seems, if we look at the story, that he left Capernaum for a while and he just came back. People were really happy to see him back because, of course, they knew who he was. So crowd there listening to him preaching. Now, when we talk of the crowd, remember what I said last week and remember it again today. So if you look at the crowd, not all of them are Christ followers. Not all of them there are disciples. Some of them are there because they want to listen and hear. Some of them are there because they're just curious, because they've heard about this Jesus. Some of them are there because they think, maybe I'm the one who is sick, maybe he can heal me today. Some of them are there because they think, oh, maybe we can see a miracle again, and maybe we can eat some bread and have some fish today. Some of them are there because they just want to criticize or look for something to catch him on so that they can take him before the leaders. So it's a mixed bunch when you see the crowd. Don't just think, oh, they're all there because they... Mixed bunch. So many of them that these folks who bring their friend who is paralyzed can't get to Jesus. So they make a plan. They go up on the roof. They break the roof open. Now remember, they don't have these kind of roofs that we have there. It was just clay and mud with reeds. So it's easy. Break it open. So break it open, and they put the guy right down through the roof in front of Jesus. I think he had to do a few miracles for some of the other folks around there in that moment. But in any case, leave that there. Maybe you're thinking, why didn't they just go through the crowd and bring the guy to Jesus? Why break open the roof and let him down through the roof? The answer, I think, lies in the fact that they wouldn't have got through. It says that. And most of those people, if they had to bring him in, the friends had to carry him, be there. What would happen? They would have to give up their seats right in the front for these guys. And none of them wanted to do that because maybe I'm going to miss my piece of fish. Maybe I'm not going to be healed today. Maybe I'm not going to see that miracle first. So no, they don't want to get out of the way. So these people had to make a plan, let him through the roof. Now look at Jesus's reaction. They let him down. Man is there. Child, he says. So I told you I'll come back to that. The Greek word that is written here in Mark is the word technon. Technon means my child. It's a word of endearment. When you take your child and you hug them, you say, my little technon, my little child. It's a beautiful term of endearment. The word for son in Greek is the word weos. When you read Matthew, Biblos Kenesios Jesu Christu weu David, weu Abraham, the son of David, the son. Weos is the, they don't use that. The word he uses, my child. My child. Your sins are forgiven. When we come before our Lord Jesus, that's the word he uses. My child. Remember that. We'll come back. I don't think the friends were all that impressed. Maybe in their mind they were going, okay, Jesus, can we just get to the healing part now? The guy's paralyzed. That's why we brought him. Just do your little healing thing so we can see the guy walk so we can... But Jesus knows that this man's need is so much deeper than just healing his body. He needs his soul to be healed. When Jesus looks at us, he knows about the bodies, but he also knows about the soul. And the most important thing that Jesus can do for a human being, for you and for me, is to erase our sins. Because can I just say this today? I know there are many churches that are afraid to use the word sin. I also know there are churches who abuse the word sin, to kind of just get us all back into hell, and we're always bad, and we're always horrible, and no. What is sin? Sin is that which stands between me and God and hurts my relationship with God so that it cannot be the way that God intended that relationship to be. And it hurts me, and it hurts God, and it hurts our relationship. And the most amazing thing that Jesus can do for me is to erase that stuff called sin. Because what does the word say about that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Anyone remember what that says? If anyone says that they have no sin, they are liars. But if we bring our sin to our Father, He is gracious and loving to forgive us those sins. And Jesus knows as this man comes down before Him that the most amazing thing that He can do for him is to wash this man clean. The second amazing thing that Jesus does for us is that He returns the relationship to God the way it should be. Because what sin does, it breaks the relationship and it brings us back together when Jesus takes that away. When He stands before us this morning, my friends, the most amazing thing that He can say is, my child, your sins are forgiven. Will you take that, please? For that's who you are in Jesus. And that's why He came back to that place called Capernaum. And on that day when that man landed before Him on that mat, Jesus knew this man was not lying in the emergency room of the hospital. This man was already lying on the slab in the morgue because he was dead because of his sins. And Jesus came to seek and to save those who are in need and to forgive. And so he says, child, be healed. Your sins are forgiven. Come alive. Did you notice that he did not judge him first? Did you notice that he did not call him all kinds of bad names? You bad person. You sinner. You lost. You horrible person. You who turned your back on God. You who messed up your life so badly. You had all the opportunities and you didn't take them. Let me just get this out first. He didn't do that. My child. Child of the Father. Child whose name is written in the book of life. Child whose sins are forgiven, erased, forgotten, and gone. That's why Jesus came. Can you hear that? Each one of you, my brothers and my sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ. For you. Because that's what he values the most, is your soul. That's why Father God sent his Son. We see Jesus and his reaction. We saw the friends. Let's look at some others. They're called the teachers of the law. The law does not mean the law as in the courts. It's the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. The teachers who taught the Bible so well, what is their reaction? They're hopping mad at Jesus, angry. In the Greek, the word for fellow that they use here is a little harsher. It's really a derogatory term that they call Jesus. Who does this so-and-so think he is to do things that only God can do? But Jesus is one ahead of them because he knew this was coming. And so he asks a question. And listen to this again. It's such a cool question. Okay, I know exactly what you're thinking. So here's my question to you. What would be easier? To say your sins are forgiven? Or to say get up and walk? What do you think? Because here's the thing. They've seen him say get up and walk before. They've seen him heal other people before. He can do that. But here's the thing, says Jesus. It's easy to heal this body. But the body is here today and the body is gone tomorrow and this body will die. What is more important is the soul. Because the soul will live forever. So you just want me to say, get up and walk and that's okay? But what about the soul? Because that's why Jesus came. To save the souls of his children. See, my friends, here's the thing. The greatest gift that Jesus gave us was when Jesus said to me, "You are so precious to me that I left heaven and came into this world to take on your body of flesh so that I may take on all of the sin and die in this body so that I can give you life everlasting." The greatest gift that I can give to you because you are so precious to me is that I would be born in a manger and this world would have no place for me. But despite that, I would go and make place for you so that you may come and be where I am with my Father. You are so precious to me that I would allow this world to nail me to a cross. And on that cross, I would take all of your sin, die for them, wash them away, so that you can hear my Father say to you, "My child, you are so precious to me." Yes, in answer to the second question that we asked this morning. that if you were the only person that needed saving, that I would come into this world for you and you alone. One day, when we get to the kingdom of God and we see the Lord face to face, we're going to see all these folks face to face. And I think if we walk up to this guy who was healed and forgiven, and we talk to him, he'll say, you know, that was such an amazing day for me. Because, yes, when Jesus healed me and I could get up and I could walk, the reaction of the people was clapping hands and they were so overjoyed. It was such an amazing moment. But you know what was even more amazing? Was to see the angels in heaven dance and rejoice because of one soul that was saved. Go and read Luke chapter 15, verse 10. And you'll see why I say that. Because that's why Jesus came. To let the angels dance for one soul that is saved. Maybe there's a roof that's being broken open for you right now. And maybe you hear the voice of the Father saying, my child, your sins are forgiven. My child, your name is written in the palm of my hand. And every day I say your name. And maybe if you listen very carefully, you'll hear the angels singing. And if you look carefully, you'll see them dancing for you. For that's why Jesus came. What's the value of one soul? And would Jesus come for just your soul? Well, that's why Jesus came. Amen. Father God, thank you that we are yours. And we belong to you. Not because of anything that we did to deserve that. Because of what you did when Jesus came into the world. That he would die on the cross. And he would die because of our sins. So that we might be washed as white as wool and pure white as snow. And we may be called your children. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.